book of Psalms, Psalm 34, and read again at verse 7. Psalm 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. This psalm by David in remembrance of the Lord delivering him. David was captured by his enemies and brought before Abimelech, the name given to all the kings of the Philistines. And Abimelech's particular name was Achish. And it was on that occasion that David pretended to be insane. And the title here is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. The title literally means that he changed his judgment, his understanding, he changed his judgment. And so the king of the Philistines asked, "Why do you bring a madman to me?" So he let him go. Now, the way David behaved on this occasion is questionable. And indeed, it probably was wrong for David to act that way. But it does not change the fact that the Lord delivered him. Verse 4, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." Yes, in spite of David's failings and shortcomings, the Lord delivered him. David did not feel worthy. Perhaps there is even a hint of the feelings of regret that he probably had in verse 13. He says, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." This is what I did. There was guile. There was not honesty here, pretending to be a madman. But the Lord helped me in spite of that. This is what I did, but you don't do that. The Lord is merciful in spite of my sin, and he helped me. Yes, the Lord delivers his unworthy people. And David is resolved to magnify the Lord, to praise him at all times. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." In all situations, David would praise God. When facing trouble or when in prosperity, he will always praise the Lord who has delivered him. God delivered him in times past, and David will not forget what God has done for him. And in fact, David is, of course, calling others to join with him in praising the Lord. Verse 2, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Those who are humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Those who have no strength in themselves, they see themselves in the same vulnerable position that David was in, and so they will sympathize with David, they will rejoice with David. Well, God's people, humble as they are a privileged people. And we read in verse 5, "They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." They would have no need to be disappointed. If they don't look to him, if they don't trust in God, they will be ashamed, they will be embarrassed, they will be frustrated. But looking to him, they will not be ashamed. In fact, the original is, "Let their faces not be ashamed." Let them not be ashamed. It is possible to be disappointed if you're not trusting in God. "But they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all his troubles." How safe they are. They are safe indeed. Why? Because they are protected by the angel of the Lord. Yes, our text says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." They are fully protected because the Lord encamps around them, and encamping around them, surrounding them with his protection, they will be delivered. Well, this is a comforting psalm to God's people. It's a psalm that we should not forget. In fact, this psalm, each verse in the psalm begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet arranged in alphabetical order. I didn't read each verse, but I saw the first three, Aleph, Beit, and so on, Gimel. So in the Hebrew alphabet, and this is probably to aid the memory, and we should remember the psalm as well, and remember the lessons that are taught here, and especially that the angel of the Lord surrounds and protects the Lord's people. So, with the Lord's help, we want to consider first the angel of the Lord, secondly, his surrounding those that fear him, and thirdly, his delivering them. First of all, the angel of the Lord, then his surrounding his people, and thirdly, his delivering them. The angel of the Lord. Some commentators believe this is referring to ordinary angels. And indeed, God uses angels to take care of his people. But we believe that more is referred to than ordinary angels. That our text is speaking of the angel of the Lord. That is the angel or messenger of the covenant that is spoken of in Malachi chapter 3. God will send his messenger, John the Baptist, and the messenger of the covenant, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the angel of his presence, as we considered on Sabbath morning. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. So, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Well, since many commentators don't refer to the angel of the Lord as the angel of his presence and the angel of the covenant, why do we think that he is being spoken of here, the angel of the Lord? Well, for one thing, it is in the singular. It's not angels, as we have in Psalm 91, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Angels, plural. Although it is true that the Hebrew can refer to many, to a plurality, even while using the singular. That is true. But another reason is that there are so many passages in the Old Testament that speak of the angel of the Lord as a divine person. And so why not in this verse? Why not here? "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." And another reason that came to my own mind is that the passage seems to ascribe the glory of the deliverance to the angel himself. The glory of the deliverance is due to the angel himself, the angel of the Lord. It's in the context of the Lord delivering his people. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Well, in the Old Testament, as we said, many, many passages of the angel of the Lord. And other passages that speak of theophanies. Theophanies, which mean appearance of God. These visible manifestations of the Lord. And one is at the time of Abraham, when a burning lamp or a burning torch passed between the pieces of meat that Abraham had cut up for the sacrifice. A burning lamp passed through those pieces. And that was God manifesting himself. And then there's the burning bush and the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, and the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord, a theophany, an appearance of God, or God giving a visible manifestation of himself. and the angel of the Lord, it would seem that most of these appearances were in human form, although perhaps not all. Well, briefly, on Sabbath morning, we consider the angel of the Lord as being promised to be sent, as actually being sent, and that he is the Lord's angel, and that he is the Lord himself. As we referred to God appearing to Moses in the burning bush, it was also the angel of the Lord that was appearing to him at the very same time. And another interesting passage to prove that the angel of the Lord is a divine person, that he is God, is in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 21. Beware of him, speaking of the angel of the Lord, and obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. As if he had the power to pardon your transgressions. But he is speaking of himself as the angel that was sent by him. And so the fact is that he is identical to the Most High in respect of sin against him. That's the main point. With all of these proof texts that we mentioned on Sabbath morning, it is clear that the angel of the Lord is Jehovah, a divine person, and we believe he is the second person in the Trinity. The angel of the Lord is, the angel of his presence, as we considered on Sabbath morning, the angel of his presence saved them. Well, the angel of his face, or his presence, in whom, in the angel, God's face was made clear. God was manifesting himself in the angel. And the angel of the Lord, as sent by the Lord, is showing us a manifoldness in the Godhead, a plurality. He is sent by the Lord, and he is the Lord. And we know that God subsists in three persons, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. Well, why do we think that the angel of the Lord is Christ himself? Well, one reason is that he appeared in a visible form. God the Father does not appear in a visible form. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became man and appeared in a visible form. Also, Christ is the one who is sent. The Father is not sent. And angel, the word angel simply means messenger. So it's the same word in all these places. Angel of the Lord here means messenger of the Lord here in Psalm 34. The messenger of the covenant there in Malachi is angel of the covenant, same word. And messenger as well in Isaiah 63, verse 9, our text last Sabbath morning, the messenger of his face. So angel means messenger. Although the word messenger, and our English word messenger, does not seem to include everything that the word angel refers to. At any rate, the angel of the Lord, the second person in the Trinity, Jesus Christ, who appeared to his people in the wilderness and who came when the fullness of time was come and was born of the Virgin Mary, Jesus Christ, the second person, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. Now, if we take this view, that our text is speaking of the angel of his presence, the angel of the covenant, the second person in the Trinity, that does not exclude the other created angels. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the captain of salvation. He is the prince of the host of the Lord. And he sends his angels to take care of his people. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 14, it seems the angel of the Lord is spoken of here. He appeared to Joshua. This was right before the conquering of Jericho. Joshua looks up and he beholds a man standing over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua goes to him and he says to him, "Are you for us or against us? Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And this is Joshua chapter 5 and verse 14. And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." Was this a divine person? Certainly he was. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship him and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. So, though it doesn't say the angel of the Lord, yet he is a divine person, and the commentators refer to him as the angel of the Lord. He is the captain of the Lord's host. And what is the Lord's host? The angels. Micaiah said so, said as much when he was speaking to Ahab and Jehoshaphat. "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left." Jesus is the captain of the host of the Lord, and the host are sitting all around him, on his right hand and on his left. He has command of all the angels. So, when the angel of the Lord encamps around his people, it also implies that all of his angels are encamping around them too. And indeed, when Jacob was leaving Laban, we read that on his way, the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of the place Mahanaim, which means two hosts. The angel of the Lord is the captain of the hosts of the Lord. All the angels are at his command. They excel in strength that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. "Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure." So the angel of the Lord is the captain of the host of the Lord. And what is said of the angel of the Lord is, secondly, that he surrounds those who fear him. He encamps around them. And the word camp in the Old Testament is a temporary protective enclosure for a tribe or army. It's a temporary camp enclosure. It is never a permanent dwelling. The army, for example, or the camp of Israel, would be ready at any moment to pack up and go somewhere else. And so what this tells us is that the Lord Jesus Christ surrounds his people, camping around them, and that he is ready to follow them wherever they go. In Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 8, we have these words. I believe it is God who's speaking. "And I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth. And no oppressor shall pass through them any more, for now have I seen with mine eyes." So God is camping around the city of Jerusalem, camping around his temple. And Alexander the Great was going to pass by. He was ready in his fury to attack and pounce upon Jerusalem. But I read that he was stopped by a dream he had. This dream he had made him stop. And so he spared the city of Jerusalem. And instead of conquering Jerusalem, he bestowed great honor on the city. So literally the temple was preserved by the angel of the Lord encamping around the city. As we read there in the same prophecy, "He that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of his eye." So God protects his people. He cares for them. In all their affliction, he is afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Yes, Christ, the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, follows his people wherever they go. In all places, God had promised Jacob he would be with Jacob. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So the Lord is present with his people. As he told Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. God is surrounding his people, surrounding them with his loving kindness. He is present with them, so that the psalmist can say in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, encamps round about those that fear him. He is surrounding them. He is following them. He is present with them by his Spirit. As David says, whither shall I go from thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? He cannot hide from God. He cannot get away from the Most High. God will always be with him. And God is with his people, Christ is with his people by his power and his providence, as he upholds all things by the word of his power. So he's causing all things to work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And he is with them in his power and protection by his angels, his ministering spirits sent to help God's people. As Paul says, they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. But we must never forget that it is the Lord himself who is with his people. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I am with you always. I am even unto the end of the world. But we come in the third place to consider how, because he is surrounding them, the result of that is he delivers them. First we read that he encamps around them, then we read that he delivers them. And the deliverance is consequent upon his surrounding them. God is with his people, and because he is with them, he will deliver them. As we again refer to that verse in Genesis chapter 48, verse 16, Jacob said, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. The angel of the Lord delivered Jacob from all evil. And so it is with the Lord's people today, that he protects them. He delivers them in their emergencies, in the various calamities that they fear. For example, road accidents. The Lord protects his people. The Lord delivers them, preventing disease or preventing illness from becoming worse. We little know how much danger we have been preserved from because the Lord preserving his people through the agency of angels, it may be. And the Lord has promised to keep his people. Hannah said there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9, he will keep the feet of his saints. Such a simple verse, but so precious. He will keep the feet of his saints. And he does it in love, in his love and in his pity. The Lord cares for his people. We should never forget that. When we may be thinking on his word and what God has done for his people, he does it in love. He is not uncaring. He is not unfeeling toward them. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. As he said to Moses, I know their sorrows. He knows them. He knows what they're going through, and it matters to him. And he sent his angel to deliver his people, Israel, in his care for them. And he cared for David. God's care for David is so evident in 1 and 2 Samuel. And he cared for David, and he delivered David, even when David perhaps felt he least deserved it, even when he was there, pretending to be the madman, yet God saved him from his enemies. And who is this for? What this deliverance is for whom? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. So that's the question for us tonight. Do we fear the Lord? Do we have reverence to God? Do we stand in awe of God? When we think about ourselves, do we have a sense of sin as it is against God? Indeed, as sin brings us into danger, it makes us liable to his wrath and curse. Do we fear hell? Oh, we should. Yes, the wrath of God should make us afraid, because our God is a consuming fire. And if we're on the wrong side of God, speaking reverently, it will be fire and wrath to us. On the other side is comfort and peace and security. But if we're on the other side of the pillar of fire, it's terror. And God himself, in the midst of saying he is long-suffering and forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, he will by no means clear the guilty. Are we guilty tonight? I mean, right now, is our guilt upon us? Is God imputing our sin to us? Is God charging our sin to our account? Oh, we should be horribly afraid. We should be in horror. How we need the gospel, how we need the good news, how we should be ready to receive, joyfully acquiesce in the good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It should fill us with joy. There's hope for us. And to know that the gospel is the power of God. And the gospel can deliver us from the power of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Why is the gospel the power of God? Because it reveals to us the way of salvation. It reveals to us the righteousness of God. We have no righteousness. If we come to God as we are, we're naked and exposed to divine wrath. We need to be covered with the righteousness of Christ so that the shame of our sin does not appear before God and we are not cast into hell out of his sight forever into the bottomless pit where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, we need the gospel because it reveals to us the white robe of the righteousness of Christ to cover us, to make us acceptable in God's sight. To be accepted as righteous in his sight. Oh, we need the angel of the covenant. We need the angel of the Lord. In the prophecy of Zechariah, we have just that. The angel of the Lord standing by. While Joshua the high priest was covered with filthy garments, and Satan was at his right hand to resist him, we read, and he answered, we read in verse 3, Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 3, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Your iniquity is pardoned. You're covered with the righteousness of Christ. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head. That's a crown on his head. And clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Yes, and there's more about the angel of the Lord. You can read it when you go home. Zechariah chapter 3. Oh, we need the righteousness of Christ that the angel of the Lord provides. And if we're looking to Jesus, on the one hand, trembling because of God's wrath, but fleeing to Jesus for safety, for salvation, then we may rest. We may rest as we In our family worship this morning, read in Habakkuk chapter 3, the prophet Habakkuk was asking God, why are the Chaldeans, they're so wicked, but they're attacking God's people, Israel? The answer is, the just shall live by faith, and the Chaldeans, they're proud and lifted up, they will not prosper. And then when Habakkuk heard about the judgments that God was going to pour out upon the Chaldeans, Habakkuk trembled. He said rottenness filled his bones. It means he became weak and limp because of God's judgments, not upon himself, but upon the enemy. It made him so afraid. That's the way God's wrath and punishment revealed in the Word should have the effect upon us. But then he says, I trembled that I might rest in the day of trouble. I'll leave that with you tonight. I tremble now that I might rest in the day of trouble. And when the wrath of God is driving you to Christ, causing you to flee to Jesus, then, finding Christ, your soul will be at rest, even while others sins. Even on the judgment day, when there's a great division and so many are on the left-hand side of Christ, or on the wrong side, and it's too late to switch sides, yet, because of you have fled to Jesus by grace, you're at rest in the day of trouble because of the angel of the Lord. This poor man cried, God heard and delivered him, saved him out of all his troubles. And if you're looking to Jesus now, looking to the angel of the Lord now, you have no need to fear. No need to fear anything on this side of eternity, because God will help you. Jesus will help you. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. On the lion and adder, the dragon shall come. Because the captain of the Lord's host is on our side. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. May he bless his word. Let's pray.